Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Take a listen to Professor Matthew Sadlier. He's a consultant psychiatrist at Dublin's Mater Hospital, and he was on Breakfast a little earlier this morning talking about the impact of beauty influencers on teenagers.
When you're a doctor, you deal with individuals in front of you. You don't necessarily deal with societal issues. And when you have seen people, young girls, come in to see you who have deficits with their body image, and when you talk to them and you go through in detail, and it comes because they're making social comparisons with unrealistic images that they're seeing on the internet, that they are watching at 4 to 5 to 6 hours a day, which we know a lot of teenagers do. Same time, you'll see young men who'll be influenced by the masculinity influencers and will have similar but different problems secondary to this. And that's why I do feel we need a societal change around these sort of things.
Katrina Ryan is a professor of a consultant dermatologist at the Institute of Dermatology. How do these beauty standards affect children's skin, Katrina?
Oh, we're seeing a huge amount of this, Andrea, and it's not just teenagers anymore. It's tweens, as we call them, like anything from the age 8, 9 and up. And it completely, as Dr. Sadler said there, it is the influence of social media. And I actually think the skincare industry pushing through, targeting these vulnerable age groups through social media, watching the TikToks and the YouTubes about skincare regimens. So we see, and I don't know how parents are even affording these type of skincare products, but you know, very complex, costly skincare routines, and often using ingredients that aren't in any way suitable for them, like anti-aging and serums, intense exfoliating creams, or you know, these sort of 10-step regimens, morning and evening.
I'm barely doing that, Katrina, to be honest with you, and I'm 40. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's probably because you've got such a busy life, Andrea. But these girls can sometimes be up for hours in the evening. You know, some of them are, you know, especially into the teenage zone, are doing all sorts of face masks and head wrapping and this thing called the morning shed as well. You know, and it's, you know, it can, first of all, it can cause skin issues. So irritant contact dermatitis, like giving them red, scaly faces from all of the, you know, the acids and the exfoliants they're using. Or with all the layers that they're putting on, causing a sort of acne cosmetica. So that's one issue. But I actually think Dr. Sadler is hitting what I think is more concerning with all of these skincare regimens and everything else. To think that 9 and 10-year-olds are thinking about beauty at this level, you know, these sort of completely unrealistic beauty standards, at the age of 9 and 10, there is no hope for them as they get older. It's really, really dangerous that this whole, you know, self-image, body image, that when they're comparing themselves to these completely filtered images, and they feel issues with confidence and skin issues and body image issues at this age, when they're still developing their self-identity, it's really, really damaging.
Yeah, like he talked about the fact that he's seeing an increase in extreme eating disorders in young patients as well. Like, and, you know, he believes social media is partly to blame for this.
Oh, it's hugely to blame. And actually what we're seeing now, actually, even in clinic, when I see a lot of teenagers, I think it's just as bad for the boys as the young girls. You know, they come in and they're, you know, again, if they're watching people on TikTok and all of their social media channels, and they think they're meant to have these muscly bodies, and some of them are on all sorts of supplements and working out for 6, 7 days a week, and they're only 15 and 16. There's huge pressures put on our tweens and teenagers nowadays. Like, being a teenager is hard enough, you know, back when we were young, but now this pressure is really, really, really difficult. And I actually think we need to come at it from, you know, within our schools and from an educational perspective as well. You know, even when it comes to skincare, having things broken down very simply, all they need to do is cleanse in the morning and evening. And if you can use this as an opportunity to get them to put sunblock on every day, great. But that's all they need. You know, they have, as tweens in particular, they have such beautiful, resilient skin. And actually using all of these products disrupts their skin barrier.
Yeah,
it only causes problems. Yeah, if only as dermatologists we could see bigger TikTok influencers.
Yeah.
That would really, because they're so impressionable and they're so vulnerable and they just want to fit in with the crowd. And this is another big problem for the mums, because they come in and say, Katrina, I know this is crazy, but all of their friends are getting drunk elephant for their birthday or for Christmas, and I don't want them to be the only ones who are left out.
Who doesn't have it.
So there's that as well.
Funny you say that, just about the influencers. Greg Murphy's joining us as well, Katrina. Greg is the Programme Director of PR and Media at SETU Carlow. The new generation of influencers, Greg, are they aware of the role that they play, you know, in how the younger generation see themselves if we're all glued to TikTokers?
No, like it's an interesting one, because it's not a new phenomenon, really, because if you go back to the 90s, this idea of unrealistic body image, that's not a new phenomenon. If you go back to Kate Moss in the 90s on magazines covers, or I know when I was a young lad growing up, you're looking at The Rock and all these kind of wrestlers and superstars that have these unrealistic body images. I would lean back mostly into the education side of it, in that you need to teach people who are on social media that everything you're seeing is fabricated and it is 100% produced. It's not natural in the moment as people might think it is.
Is the onus there on me as the viewer or on you as the influencer, Greg?
I actually think the onus, I'd say, is more so on the algorithm, on the social media companies, because it's a very kind of one-sided argument that's been presented so far, of that all this influencers is negative. And for every bad influencer out there, there's a great one. Like even Irish ones, Trish's Transformation, she does wonderful body positivity stuff. Garen Noon does great stuff. And then the more kind of macro influencers, Joe Wicks, he does great kind of body positivity stuff and well. So in the education side of it, like if a 9 and 10 year old, if they're doing skincare routines that they learned on social media, my first argument would be, why is a 9 and 10 year old on social media in the first place? It probably is. It has to be weaned into it, because like you can't give a 10 year old a device that has the answer to every question ever made. Mm. And these companies, they do target those younger ages. And the algorithms, they're so content based, in that if you watch one or two gym focused things, like we all know, we're all on Instagram and TikTok all the time. And if you watch one Oasis clip, you're going to see 20, 30 pop
True.
Up in the next
yeah.
half an hour as well. So it's really important as parents to, first of all, teach them that what they're seeing is fabricated. It's being produced. It's being edited. It is not realistic in a sense of what you see coming up on your Instagram reel. That's not how that person looked in the moment. And if you can teach them that, first of all, then they can start to kind of hopefully tailor their own algorithm. And as a parent, you probably want to keep an eye on what's popping up in their algorithms anyway. Mm.
And keep a close eye on it. But I still wonder though, is there not like some of the blame here? Well, maybe not the blame, but does some of the onus here around responsibility not lie with the people publishing the content?
Well, I mean, if we're going down that route, then everybody who publishes on social media, even ourselves, we have responsibility of what we put up, because we all have some form of a following, whether it be big, whether it be big or small. I mean, like, it'd be a wonderful world if all the influencers were great and only put out good content. That'd be fantastic. So I think it's about steering people in the direction of the positive stuff that's on social media rather than the negative.
Katrina, you wanted to make a quick point on that.
I think the thing is here, we know the influencers, and you know, we've got great influencers are getting paid by the skincare companies, and they're getting paid a huge amount of money. So they make things very engaging. And how do we reel that in? You know, for a lot of influencers now, this is their career. This is, you know, 100% of their income. So I don't know if we can screen it out for certain age groups, but it's something that we need to tackle in a nationwide and through our educational, through primary school, secondary school. Mm. Like if we can target kids in school, you know, programs about skin health, but also about their body image, their own that talks about their self confidence. I mean, confident in their own skin and their own bodies.
Yeah.
But also educate. We need to educate our kids on what social media is, on the filtered images, on, you know, so that they have a deeper understanding of what, how artificial it is in so many ways.
Yeah, and how to spot that,
they
I suppose,
are not,
too.
They should not be trying to aspire to these beauty standards.
Michelle Regazzoli-Stone is with me on the line today. Of course, a lot of you know Michelle as Mrs. Makeup. How do you think influencers can use their platform in a positive way in this regard, Michelle?
Well, I think at this day and age, if you're still following somebody that you don't think is transparent and you're concerned about them being paid by a company, you shouldn't be following them. That totally lies on you. We as influencers 10 years ago were called out because we did create a toxic environment. People were sitting on their BMWs, taking a photograph, giving these massive kind of ideas of what life should be and how perfect it should all be. But it has completely changed. There's governing standards now. There's different ways of being transparent and being open. And if you're following someone that you think is only getting paid to say something, you are definitely following the wrong person, and you know they shouldn't be doing that anyway. But yeah. I think that we have totally changed as a community for the better.
So because we have obviously the rules and regulations through the advertising,
ASAI,
the standards authority there, and that sort of dictates, I suppose, that, you know, if somebody puts up something that's a freebie, or they're being paid to say it, they've got to indicate that by way of, you know, hashtag gift or hashtag whatever paid or whatever
and
it
that's
is.
Where I'm, the word toxic is used all the time, and generally in with influencers as well. So when I heard, when I seen that headline, I know headlines, they're doing what they're supposed to do and they're supposed to get your attention. But we're not toxic people, and we are trying to make a career out of putting a lot of our lives online. Like, I have created this over 10 years. Thankfully, I have a beauty brand as a result. We're constantly growing. We're constantly learning. And yes, we do have an audience of a mixed variety. But as a parent, I have four children. It's my job to make sure that these kids are not going to bed with phones in their hands. It's also my job to have an idea of what they're looking at and what I buy for them as a result of everything that they can get so lost in with brands. So I just kind of feel like we have come a very long way in this industry to make it way more transparent. And if I'm getting paid for a product, I genuinely do not use it unless I'm using it myself and I believe in it.
Yeah.
And anyone else that's doing that is...
Ah, how to be fair, a lot.
And
like,
we can,
you know,
see them.
Lot of
we
them.
Can see it.
You can see it. But you would have an experience, obviously, too, in the makeup industry, and as a parent, Michelle, as you mentioned, you know, you probably see that a lot of the tweens, as Katrina described them, you know, the big focus around the beauty products that are out there and what they think they should be using at 8 and 9 years of age.
Yeah, TikTok has a massive responsibility there with that one. And, you know, with TikTok, you were seeing all of these really popular young girls who made massive followings and massive careers and money for themselves, going buying mansions at whatever age as a result of, you know, doing dances and putting on cosmetics and even the JoJo bow, all these things that kids just, everyone wants to be in some way included. So I guess the innocence of them putting on this skincare, but it is obviously, as a parent and a consumer, your job to know what's in it before it goes onto their skin. And that's the value of the likes of a really good dermatologist having a good following, good strong following online. Because 10 years ago, it was only influencers that were kind of trying to get their name and getting a kind of a profile online. And the great thing about social media is it has changed, that it's for everyone now. And your dermatologist who might come on and say, I don't agree with influencers and what they're doing, I'm going to tell you how to make sure that you're using this properly and that you're educated in it, and they can go viral.
Yeah, there's education, so, there's levels of education that was never there when I was growing up with regards to this. Dr. Carl Fulham is with us as well. Carl's a chartered physio and clinical lead with BTL Medical Ireland and in the UK as well. Do you think beauty influencers in general, Carl, play a role in how the younger generation see themselves?
Certainly, and I think there's no way of getting away from it, Andrea. And look, I think that, you know, Katrina, Greg, Michelle all made very valid and excellent points. And I think that we all have to bear in mind that there's exposures at certain age categories that are, you know, favourable. I think I thought about this before we spoke and said, you know, your frontal lobe isn't developed until 25 years of age. So very simply, scientifically, kids are so easily influenced. And like that, Prof. Ryan touched on it, that, you know, at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, young kids are getting exposed to this, both males and females. And that's quite a scary prospect. And I think that a really good point that the Prof. Ryan made is that there has to be an onus maybe on government, the Department of Education. You know, you look at health economics, as home economics rather, as a subject that, you know, that there's an opportunity, and that is the only opportunity when kids are in schools, to give them a better education and an understanding of what's out there, I suppose, what's valid and what has research behind it. And also, you know, I think Greg touched on it, that a lot of it is fabricated. And a lot of what we're seeing, these muscles and this, you know, perfect, flawless skin is fabricated. And you know, Michelle, who's built a following and a brand and gives out really good information, it has to be given to certain age categories. I feel that's quite important. And of course, you never want a kid to be isolated or left out. Mm. But I think that the education piece is very, very important on this. And when, you know, the age categories that these people should be educated, well, people rather, these children, tweens, teens, should be educated, is very, very important.
And like, over the years, though, like it's not an, I think it was actually Matthew Sadlier himself made the point, it's not just, by the way, the young teenagers, the females, the girls that we're talking about, like it's the young lads as well. And you know, a few texters making the point today, was this not always the case? Like, you would have 20 years ago, probably our generation, Carl, would have always had the sports stars internationally here at home with the great physique, you know, that the younger lads would have looked up to anyway, even before we'd social media or TikTok or Instagram.
Of course. So look, there's nothing wrong with having people who you idolise and look up to, and they can be from any, you know, facet or professionalism or whatever that might be. But again, I think it's very important if we come back to it. And I spoke with young kids that were, you know, trying to become professional footballers in the underage setups in Ireland. And one of the first things I spoke about was supplements. And I said it very simply to the kids and their parents. They're called supplements for a reason, because they supplement a good diet and they supplement a healthy lifestyle. And that's where it's kind of, it's very tainted, that these young kids think that they need to take all these supplements, be it protein, creatine, even worse, again, getting into steroids. And again, there is a place for steroids, don't get me wrong, but it shouldn't be in performance enhancement for younger people. And that's the big thing. They are supplements. They supplement a healthy diet, healthy lifestyle, healthy sleep. So that's the big thing that I think people need to be aware of. There's nothing wrong with idolizing people and looking up to people. But if you've got, you know, which I saw all the time when it, working clinically with kids coming in and asking me about, should I be taking this protein when I'm doing my rehab and should I be doing this? And I tell them, eat your spuds, eat your carrots, eat your chicken fillets, you know, eat a healthy meal. You don't need to be spending lots of money on supplements that really, at the end of the day, they just go out of your system as quickly as they come in if they're not being put to use and not being prescribed, or I suppose not being utilised and understood well before being taken.
Yeah, there is something, you know, pretty alarming when you think of kids like 8 and 9 years of age talking to their parents about 10-step beauty regimes, you know, and what kind of products they want to use. Probably far more advanced than you and I as well. That is Dr. Carl Fulham, clinical lead with BTL Medical Ireland in the UK. Greg Murphy there is the Programme Director of PR at SETU Carlow. Michelle Stone, Mrs. Makeup and Consultant Dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatologists, Professor Katrina Ryan. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.